tonight, three Americans held by North Korea set free. They're playing in the air right now on their way home to their waiting families.
I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I'll cry or if I'll jump up and down. I don't know, you know, will I faint because I miss them so much.
President Trump will be there to greet the plane. Bombshell new allegations about the president's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, allegedly promising access to the Trump administration. What one of the companies who secretly paid him big money is telling NBC News. A major fight erupts over the woman said to be the nation's next top spy and her role in a dark chapter in American history. The mean season for many hitting the hardest in years, including that pollen bomb. Tonight, how to battle those allergy blues. And here in Chicago, we're hitting the streets. Cutting-edge technology helping cops keep neighborhoods safe. Plus, we're with kids hitting all the right notes. Nightly news across America and all that jazz.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening from River Point, the Chicago River, framed by this city's ever-growing downtown skyline on day three of our five-day journey across America. We'll get to the stories that brought us here in a few moments, but first, on a very busy night, we begin with those three Americans set free by North Korea, and right now they're on a plane headed back to their waiting families here in the U.S. It could be one of the last major developments before a historic summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump now preparing to meet their plane when it touches down. And we get late details on all this from NBC's Peter Alexander.
Tonight, three American detainees held by North Korea free and flying home. President Trump announcing he'll personally greet them when they land overnight at Joint Base Andrews, praising North Korea's dictator for their release.
Nobody thought this was going to happen. And I appreciate Kim Jong-un doing this and allowing them to go.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on his second trip to North Korea in 6 weeks, bringing the men home aboard a plane with medical staff in advance of the president's upcoming summit, securing their release just an hour before Pompeo was wheels up. President Trump breaking the news on Twitter, noting the three wonderful gentlemen seem to be in good health. The family of Tony Kim held for more than a year, thanking the president for engaging directly with North Korea. Son Sol Kim telling NBC News he's anxious to reunite with his father.
You know, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I'll cry or if I'll jump up and down. I don't know, you know, will I faint because I missed him so much.
Tony Kim and Kim Hak Song were arrested and held for unspecified hostile acts. Kim Dong-chul was serving 10 years in a North Korean labor camp. The president today asked whether he deserves the Nobel Prize.
Everyone thinks so, but I would never say it. The prize I want is victory for the world.
Pompeo today vowing we're not going to relieve sanctions until such time as we achieved our objectives. Kim Jong-un proving he's willing to give up three American detainees, but still unanswered, will he do more?
We have to see now through negotiations whether the North Koreans are really willing to give up their nuclear weapons.
Tonight, the president is also warning Iran of severe consequences if it restarts its nuclear program. Also tonight, our first new look at a smiling Kim Jong-un with Secretary Pompeo in North Korea. As for that upcoming summit, President Trump now says that he has ruled out the DMZ as a possible site. The only other location he's publicly mentioned as a finalist is Singapore. Lester?
All right, Peter Alexander in Washington, thank you. Now to the legal drama swirling around President Trump's attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, reaching a new level tonight over millions of dollars in payments and a serious allegation that Cohen was selling access to President Trump. Our White House correspondent Kristen Welker has details of what we've learned about that money flow.
Tonight, stunning accusations. The lawyer for porn star Stormy Daniels alleging the president's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, was selling access to the president of the United States. Michael Avenatti claiming some $4.4 million flowed through Cohen's company after October 2016.
I think they paid the money to Michael Cohen probably because he suggested to AT&T that he could provide access to the president and could act as a lobbyist.
And tonight, NBC News is learning new details about those payments, including some some from companies that had business pending with the new administration. A senior official at pharmaceutical company Novartis telling NBC News Cohen reached out to the company's then CEO shortly after the election, promising access to the new administration. The company says it paid Cohen nearly $1.2 million for what was supposed to be advice on health care policy, but soon realized Cohen couldn't deliver. That official also says special counsel Robert Mueller asked about Cohen's offer of access. Novartis says they cooperated fully. And another major company, AT&T, paid at least $200,000 to Cohen's company, saying it was to provide insights into understanding the new administration. The company made the payments to Mr. Cohen's company at the very time the telecommunications giant was seeking government approval for an $85 billion takeover of Time Warner. Also under a microscope, Columbus Nova, a U.S.-based firm with ties to Russian oligarch Viktor Vekselberg, who is linked to Vladimir Putin. Columbus Nova paid $500,000 to Cohen's firm between January and August 2017. In a statement, Columbus said it hired Cohen as a consultant regarding potential sources of capital and potential investments in real estate and other ventures. Only months earlier, Cohen had used the same account to wire that hush money payment to Stormy Daniels over her allegation she had an affair with Mr. Trump, which he denies. The White House today deflecting.
The president promised to drain the swamp, so does he feel it's appropriate that Michael Cohen, his personal attorney, was selling access to him?
That's a determination that individual companies have to make, and I haven't spoken with the president.
In a dramatic scene on a New York sidewalk, Cohen fired back at Avenatti's claims.
Any response? Any response, Avenatti?
His document is inaccurate.
How do you feel about you?
NBC News has reviewed financial documents that appear to support Michael Avenatti's accounting of the transactions. Meanwhile, the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, telling NBC News tonight, quote, the president is not involved in any way, either before or after he was president. Michael Cohen's attorney is disputing some of the claims in a new court filing late tonight. Lester.
Kristen Welker tonight for us. Thank you. On Capitol Hill today, the first woman to be nominated to lead the CIA, Gina Haspel, faced tough questions at her Senate confirmation hearing about her 30 years as a spy and about her role in a harsh interrogation tactic that critics say amounted to torture. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has the story.
Gina Haspel is coming in from the cold, accused of covering up CIA torture after 9/11. Today, pledging she won't restart the interrogation program and would disobey President Trump if he ordered her to.
If this president asks you to do something that you find morally objectionable, what will you do?
I would not allow CIA to undertake activity that I thought was immoral, even if it was technically legal.
An issue because Haspel ran a CIA secret prison in Thailand, where an al-Qaeda suspect was waterboarded, a practice the Senate later called torture and made illegal in 2015. But during the campaign, Donald Trump endorsed waterboarding, and worse.
And don't tell me it doesn't work. Torture works.
The president has asserted that torture works. Do you agree with that statement?
Senator, I don't believe that torture works.
But then she seemed to hedge.
Valuable information was obtained from senior al-Qaeda operatives that allowed us to defend this country and prevent another attack.
Is that a yes?
No, it's not a yes.
What would you do if the president ordered you to get back in that business?
I would not restart under any circumstances in an interrogation program at CIA.
Haspel also grilled on why she went along with the destruction of interrogation tapes to protect the identities of CIA operatives. But tonight, Democrats doubt they can stop her from becoming CIA director, the first woman to lead the agency. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
Now to the news hitting close to home at NBC News. Today, NBC Universal released the findings of its months-long internal investigation in the wake of Matt Lauer's firing in November after he was accused of sexual misconduct. As part of this investigation, 68 people were interviewed, including current leadership as well as current and former Today Show staff, including anchors and correspondents. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has the details.
Nearly 6 months after the sudden firing of longtime Today Show anchor Matt Lauer, NBC Universal's report concludes there is no evidence indicating that any NBC News or Today Show leadership received any complaints about Lauer's workplace behavior before November of last year, when a woman came forward to the company accusing Lauer of sexual misconduct. Lauer was fired roughly 24 hours later. Three other women then reported their own allegations to the company, stretching back to 2000. The investigative team, led by NBC Universal's general counsel, found those accusations credible. Two of the four women said that they believe former management knew or must have known about Lauer's alleged inappropriate sexual behavior. The investigators said they found no proof of that. In a statement today, Lauer writes in part, "There are aspects of the NBC report with which I clearly disagree," noting that a day after being fired, "I took responsibility for those relationships, apologized to the people I hurt." Ari Wilkenfeld, the attorney for the woman who first accused Lauer, says NBC should have had a third party conduct the investigation.
Why can't somebody within the company with the kind of integrity and credentials of this general counsel conduct an investigation that's fair and thorough?
I don't think they'll get full and truthful answers. The people who have been afraid to come forward until now, there's no reason they should be less afraid at this point.
A spokesperson for NBC Universal says the investigation was thorough and objective. NBC investigators concluded they do not believe there is a culture of harassment at the network. In a note to employees, NBC Chairman Andy Lack announced new policies, including additional ways for employees to report complaints to an internal team of counselors and an outside law firm, adding, "We cannot change the past. What we can do is learn from it and try to make it right." Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
Now to our journey across America, and here in Chicago, the story that continues to make headlines is the gun violence in certain neighborhoods. More than 30 people shot just this past weekend. But beyond those frightful headlines, an encouraging story is emerging. Shootings and murders overall have been dropping here thanks to new strategies and technology that, as we look ahead to summer, could face a big test. On Chicago's South Side, it's become a sad and familiar fact of life. Just last night, 15-year-old Jasmine Jeter shot and killed sitting on a porch, the latest victim in what seemed like a never-ending wave of gun violence. It's what Chicago police have been bracing for.
Do you start holding your breath now? Because we know that the warm weather tends to bring these spasms of violence.
Yeah, you know, the problem with warm weather is this. You just simply have more people out on the street, you know. So that brings more crime.
But this summer, Chicago police hope to find themselves somewhat ahead of the game with a new strategy. In a tiny command center in Chicago's Inglewood Police District, trouble is detected long before the first call to 911.
So it's four rounds.
Microphones, part of a system called ShotSpotter, detect gunfire, and a network of cameras paint a full picture for responding officers. It's more than gee whiz, it's changing policing and helping reduce violence in Chicago's most notorious neighborhood.
There's a camera somewhere around here watching us.
Yeah, if you look over there, there's a camera looking at everything we're doing right now. And these pod cameras have actually helped us apprehend offenders in real time.
Chicago has struggled for years with soaring violence and a rising murder rate. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says they've seen a 19% decrease in murders in the past year and a 22% reduction in shootings citywide. Violence-weary residents in Inglewood are taking notice.
I have a bullet that went through my house years ago, but those kind of things are changing now, and I can definitely say it's much quieter.
Chicago police have hired hundreds of new police officers and opened up these strategic decision support centers in 13 districts, even using technology that helps predict where and when violence is likely to break out.
So what does that mean for the cop on the street who's patrolling, who's he gets a report of shots fired, he's rolling to the scene? How does this help him?
What it means is this. Before, by the time we would get that 911 call of a shot fired, it was roughly about 7 minutes at least after the shot was fired. Now we get it within 20 seconds.
Chicago's transformation can be traced to an unexpected place, Los Angeles, which though physically very different, faces similar issues.
We are very tied at the hip cities because we both face a gang problem.
The city's top cops recognizing there was much to be learned from each other.
Chicago has tremendous technology. But what we worked on over the last few years with them is their accountability piece. In other words, owning the problem.
We found out that LA had the process in place to do what we're doing now. They just didn't have the technology that we had.
But as a recent spasm of violence painfully makes clear, there is still work to be done, including issues of trust, with the murder trial of the officer charged in the death of unarmed teenager Laquan McDonald about to begin.
We want people to feel safe. And I can tell you this, we're seeing progress, and that when we get done with everything that we're doing, Chicago will be the safest big city in this country.
The drop in violence has been especially notable in the Inglewood neighborhood, where shootings have fallen by more than half compared to last year. There's more ahead from Chicago. We're going to talk about back with a vengeance, why this allergy season is hitting so many of us so hard this spring. We'll be right back. We're back now with the mean season hitting especially hard across much of the country. A lot of folks feeling those allergy blues. One community dealing with a so-called pollen bomb we showed you last night. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez now in the coughing and sneezing and how doctors say you can battle back.
Tonight, that yellow dust seems to be everywhere from New Jersey to Georgia, where pollen is smothering Pauline Glenn.
I'm here because I've been sneezing, my throat sore, really itchy, scratchy, watery eyes.
Today, she got an allergy test during the worst season she can remember.
We're seeing higher counts than we did last year.
Dr. Stanley Fineman is with the Atlanta Allergy and Asthma Clinic, which tracks the pollen count and its effects.
They can also have chest symptoms that can trigger asthma. It could cause infections like sinus infections.
Right now, among the worst pollen hotspots are York, Pennsylvania, Kansas City, Kansas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Dayton, Ohio. Researchers say since 1995, the ragweed pollen season increased by as much as 27 days.
Warmer temperatures caused by climate change really are causing longer growing seasons, so more intense release of pollen.
Doctors say if you're battling symptoms, you should take an allergy skin test to find out what's triggering them. Then develop a treatment plan that may include over-the-counter medications or nasal spray. If symptoms are more serious, you might consider allergy shots.
I feel like this year has only been worse than it.
Pauline Glenn just hopes the worst of it ends soon. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Atlanta.
Coming up, a new warning, a shortage on something that can mean the difference between life and death for some people. An update tonight on that growing E. coli outbreak linked to tainted romaine lettuce. The CDC now says at least 149 people have gotten sick across 29 states. That's four more states than their last update. As we reported, one person has died in California. Federal health officials continue to warn not to eat romaine lettuce unless you're sure it did not come from the Yuma, Arizona area. A warning, if anyone in your family is in danger of life-threatening allergic reactions, the FDA has declared a short-term shortage of the most popular EpiPen across many parts of the country due to manufacturing delays. The FDA says you can still get them, but you might have to look harder or find an alternative. And taking the mound for the Chicago White Sox today, yours truly, I had the pleasure of tossing out the first pitch before today's game between the Sox and the Pittsburgh Pirates, the starting pitcher Lucas Giolito. Thanks to the White Sox and the great fans here in Chicago for helping me check that one off my bucket list. And thank goodness we got it in before the rain that is falling now here in Chicago. We'll take a break, be back with more, including how this city's great musical tradition is being passed on to a new generation.
Tomorrow, Vice President Mike Pence, speaking out for the first time as three Americans held captive in North Korea return home. Today takes you behind the scenes of the tense negotiations and looks ahead to the historic summit tomorrow on Today.
Finally, tonight, what may be old school for some is new school and cool for some high school students I met here in Chicago today. They're part of an effort to keep jazz alive, and their passion comes through in every note they play. And meeting them, I quickly found myself getting into the swing of things.
For decades, it was part of the soundtrack of Chicago. Now, this uniquely American music being passed on to a new generation.
We're the Cats.
We're the Cats.
Exactly.
So we're the cool kids.
Not the cool kids. Yeah. No,
no. We're just the Cats, you know. To me, it's the most important thing in my life.
And the Jazz Institute of Chicago hopes these kids can help save it.
So many people think of it as an old kind of music, old-timey music. They want to put a frame on it, put it in a museum. It's a living art form.
Jazz records made up only 2% of total album sales in the U.S. last year. So the Institute's Jazz Ambassadors Program is now pairing up current professionals with aspiring young musicians.
Michael Collier on bass.
What do you tell your friends about it who might be into more popular music.
Yeah, exactly. I tell them that it's, you know, it's all the same. It's all feel-good music. You can turn on the radio, you start smiling when you hear Beyonce, you know, we start smiling when we hear John Coltrane.
17-year-old Micah Collier started playing the bass when he was just 8. His parents say this program has had a powerful impact.
To see him now, unapologetically in his space and just having joy with what he does, I mean, as you can see, it gives me great joy as well.
Yeah. We saw that joy too. What do you guys want to play? In a rehearsal at the Chicago Academy for the Arts. Finally, a chance to put the bass in the spotlight.
These kids are our new hope and savior for this music.
And they're proving this incredible music still hasn't lost its jazz.
Yeah.
I am not at your level.
No.
Try to keep up. A great day here in Chicago, capped off by a rainbow a few moments ago after the showers passed through downtown Chicago. That is nightly news for this Wednesday night, and a big thank you to the folks here in Chicago, including our station WMAQ. We're off to Pittsburgh, where we will see you tomorrow night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night from Chicago.